Spirit Guide Underground, September 6, 2008.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. Begin DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Spirit.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monitor Room with the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. I'm Peter Franson, the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. All right. Well, today I'm going to get you updated on some cool movie news and also focusing on, I believe, one TV show that's coming out this fall that I'm very excited about. And then we're also in the book of 1 Thessalonians and continuing our journey there. I'm always looking for truth. But first, let's jump into a little bit of updating. I spent around half of this week working to figure out what company and method we're going to use to produce our Dark Ritual CD sets. Several companies are sending me samples. I'm discussing options with my graphic designer, and I'm also looking for ways to potentially cut corners and reduce costs. It has all involved flexing a very different muscle than I have been for a while, but it's been great for me and actually very enjoyable. I've kind of sensed for the last few weeks that I'm putting out a lot creatively. I have been for you know a long stretch of time. For the last 2 years, I've been creating mostly instead of kind of intaking. But I mean, most of what I do is creative anyway with Spirit Blade Productions. I'm coming into a season now where I'm going to not be required to put out as much creatively. I'll be focused more on technical aspects, marketing, and things like that, as I also work on pre-production and writing for our next project. So it's actually really good, because I'm at the place now where I need to kind of take in creativity and not give out, because my tank is running low, so I need to kind of refill. So when I ran out of things to do for Dark Ritual this week, I pulled out the adaptation work that I've done so far for The Pilgrim's Progress and continued my work on that project for the first time in I don't know how many months, but many. Already I'm looking forward to working on the early creative process for Pilgrim and doing the kind of careful thinking and absorbing, and for this particular work, studying, that adapting The Pilgrim's Progress is really going to require. I've been working on Dark Ritual in one form for more than 2 years now, so putting it down to work on a different creative project felt unusual, but, as I said before, really good. There's still work yet to do before Dark Ritual is released. I've still got feedback to get from my test listeners. One of them I've already gotten feedback from, so I'm waiting on the others. And then once I get that feedback, I'll be applying it to the final mix. And by that time, hopefully, we'll have our printing method all figured out, and we'll be able to just send it off to print and get it back quickly and into your hands. But, you know, as I begin the process of kind of letting Dark Ritual go, I find I'm already anxious for what's coming next. So it's been a cool week for me. All right, we're going to get you updated on some cool movie stuff, and then, as I said, into 1 Thessalonians, so let's go ahead and get to it.
Primary feature.
Movie information.
Activated.
for me personally, there are some really cool things about to happen. Well, I don't know, in the immediate future, some you got to wait a little bit, but in the world of television and movies, for me, there is some really neat stuff about to happen. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is Legend of the Seeker. Now, this is based on a series of fantasy books by author Terry Goodkind, who in the last, I'd say, 5 years, has taken the place of Terry Brooks as my favorite fantasy author. Terry Goodkind is now my ultimate fantasy author. I just love his series. The series is called the Sword of Truth series. The first book in the series is Wizard's First Rule. Terry Goodkind. So, what's going on? Well, they're making a TV series produced by Sam Raimi of the Spider-Man films and one of those movies, the... Crap. I never really got into them because I couldn't... Their sense of humor really wasn't my thing. But those Dead movies, this Attack of the Dead crap. Oh, I'm terrible. And it's not... No, what is it? It's, I can't remember. Someone... Let me know what those movies are called, because I saw them once and thought they were not really my thing. I'm sure someone's going to just berate me and say, how dare you not be able to come up with the name of those movies that Sam Raimi made early in his career about dead people and zombies and traveling back in time to fight medieval skeletons. But anyway, Sam Raimi is producing this series. He is a big fan of these books, and the plan is for each season to basically follow the plot of one of the books. Terry Goodkind is really involved in the TV show because Raimi basically recognized, along with Goodkind, that as feature films, you can't cram these books because they're massive tomes. You know, so they're upwards of like 700, 800, 900 pages. I think one or two of them might be over 1,000 pages long. Massive tomes, although they really read, in my opinion, they read quickly and easily. But anyway, they both recognize that you can't do these movies as feature films because, you know, it'd have to be like this 5-hour movie. And then in the same vein, you can't quite do them as a TV show. Well, because there's going to be, you know, you have to add material. So Terry Goodkind is really involved in the writing of each episode, and he's going to be expanding on the material that's in the books and kind of adding more story content to the original book. So that's very cool for someone like me. Check out the trailer. The trailer is bomberific. www.legendoftheseeker.com. There is a really cool looking trailer there that looks like for TV, this is going to be the best fantasy series we've ever seen on TV. It is produced by the same people that made the Xena and Hercules TV shows, but based on the trailer, the little promo thing they've got on that website, it doesn't look like it's going to have the same kind of sense of humor or anything like that. It looks like it's going to be serious, you know, hardcore fantasy, which is like the books. The books are very serious. They definitely have their lighter moments, but I mean, like any, you know, I think fantasy series does, but it's not, that's not part of the genre. It's not funny in its genre. Bruce Spence, this is interesting, is the really tall, kind of creepy-looking guy that you've seen play the train man in The Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions. He was also one of the aliens that had quite a few lines in Dark City. And he also played a tall, weird-looking alien in Star Wars Episode 3. Well, he's going to be playing the wizard Zed, which is kind of the main sorcerer of the series. It's a really pivotal character. He's kind of a little bit of an oddball, I think that Bruce Spence is going to be a really interesting choice. When I first saw him in the trailer, I was like, is that the dude from like The Matrix and Dark City? And at first I was like, oh, he's kind of weird and goofy, or he's got big teeth or something. Do I really want him in this role? Or do I have this traditional image of like Gandalf in my mind for what Zed is like, you know, this bearded, you know, actually, I don't think he has a beard in the books. But the more and more I think about it, the more I think fascinating choice Bruce Spence is going to be for that role. If you're familiar with the books. Let's move along. A Green Lantern movie. Someone told me that they thought they heard something about a Green Lantern movie moving forward, and I've kind of been out of the loop with news for a little bit, so I wanted to go and check all my sources and see if there was any truth to the rumor. And I'm not too far behind. It's still the news is still relatively new, but I'll give it to you here. There's some concept art for a Green Lantern movie that has been submitted to the writer and potential director. We know he's writing. His name's Greg Berlanti, some artwork has been submitted to him, so it's not fan art, it's very official, and gives you an idea of if the art is accepted, the visual direction they're going to go with Green Lantern's costume. So check that out over at comicstofilm.com. Comics, the number two, and film.com. As I said, Greg Berlanti is the screenwriter and potential director. He's only directed one film based on his Internet Movie Database kind of resume. Most of his writing work has been for TV drama. That could be a good and a bad thing. I think it's great that they've got somebody that can write drama and write serious material, because in order for superheroes to play on the screen, you've got to have the kind of serious drama and character-driven stuff that we've seen, you know, that comic book fans know has been present in comic books for the last several decades. To have somebody that just thinks, you know, comic books are about action and cool stuff, because they haven't really been reading comic books for the last 20 years, usually ends in a disaster and a, you know, just kind of an empty, hollow shell of a superhero movie. So it's cool. I'm glad they got somebody that knows how to write drama. I wasn't sure, and I'm still not sure, what he'll be like as a director if he's chosen. But he said to MSNBC, "I came to Hollywood to do movies," adding that he is inspired by the work of Steven Spielberg, Barry Levinson, and Ron Howard. So those are some good... I'm not familiar with Levinson's work, but as far as Spielberg and Howard for big kind of epic with some special effects type movies, those are good people to be impressed with. Especially since this is a space movie, throwing the Steven Spielberg reference in there is always a good thing. He said, "They were storytellers in a way that I like to try and do with TV, which is really smart, emotional stories that are hopefully still heartfelt and funny. I'd like to try and do that for film." Now, producer Donald DeLine said, "I think that..." he's in reference to the Jack Black version of the Green Lantern movie, which is now in the can. You know, it's thrown in the crapper, or whatever the expression would be. It's defunct. It's not going to happen. In referencing that, he said, "I think that was an idea for a certain specific comedic take on it, and this take that Greg Berlanti is writing is more of a classic character origin piece." He says, "We're involved with DC Comics, and basically our story is very much a kind of standalone about the origin of that character and Hal Jordan becoming the Green Lantern, and that's the whole focus of our movie." Now, what I thought was intriguing was that the art that was submitted to Berlanti for the movie included a picture of, it was titled, "The Core Fighting Legion." Now, for those of you that are Green Lantern fans, there is a story called Green Lantern Emerald Dawn in the, I think it was early 90s, that kind of retold and recreated the Green Lantern origin story, and the big villain in that was called Legion. Now, recently in Green Lantern comics, they've been revamping yet again his origin. There's no mention of Legion. A lot of it's about Sinestro and some enemies that I think are going to play into where the Green Lantern comic book is going very soon. I think that this classic reinvention of the Green Lantern origin mythos might come into play. I've always thought that that Green Lantern Emerald Dawn, and you can get it in trade paperback, would make a fantastic Green Lantern movie. So I really hope that they'll use some of that as source material and as they move forward with the Green Lantern movie. Now, let's see here. Chris Nolan has told Aaron Eckhart regarding Eckhart's potential involvement in a third Batman movie, "You're dead." Now, Eckhart was under the impression that Ledger would be the one to return. Before I get onto that, when I saw Dark Knight, I wasn't under the certain impression that Harvey Dent was dead. But now that it's been confirmed, you know, that without a doubt that in the director's mind, Harvey Dent is dead, I think that's a terrible decision. Oh, I think that's a terrible, terrible, terrible decision. I mean, what happened with the first Batman movie, the Jack Nicholson Joker Batman movie, when Joker was killed at the end of the first movie, you know? I mean, next to Joker, Two-Face is arguably in the number two spot of Batman villains. And so to kill him and get rid of such a fantastic character when he really only came into existence during the last, you know, third of Dark Knight is such a shame, because there's so much more that you can do with Harvey Dent. So that is very frustrating to me, especially in light of the fact that, Chris Nolan has said that as long as he's the one directing these movies, Ledger is going to be the only Joker. Now, Eckhart was under the impression that Ledger would be the one to return, but Ledger's passed away, as we all know, and so at this point, we can only hope that Chris Nolan will go back on his word about not using anybody else for the Joker ever, or we can only hope that the studio will find a different yet brilliant director to finish the trilogy with a different actor as the Joker, because I think you need to have the Joker in the third part of a Batman trilogy. I mean, you can't go out on a on a weaker note than the Joker. If anything, they should have, if you know, they should have saved him for the third one, you know. So I mean, with all due respect to Ledger and to his performance, and to everyone close to him that loves him, I think in this instance the character has to be more important than the actor that is representing him. The character is timeless, you know. If it was a movie about Heath Ledger's life, starring Heath Ledger, that you'd already made one part of, then of course making a sequel without him would be kind of weird. But he was playing a character, you know. So many people have played the Joker character, so I think we should get past the idea that Ledger is the only one, he's the best and the only one true Joker in cinematic history. I think we got to get beyond that, and the Joker is bigger than any one portrayal of his character. So, moving along, Del Toro, as in Guillermo del Toro, says that Ron Perlman will be 60 before he's ready to make another Hellboy. So that's not good news for the Hellboy franchise. But Del Toro is entertaining the idea of producing a TV show, which I think would be interesting. So hopefully that'll happen. I would love to see. And I don't even need to see Ron Perlman in it. I thought his performance was brilliant. But, you know, if it's going to be a long-running 7 to 10 year series, who knows, depending on its success. Ron Perlman is getting up there in years, and even though the makeup hides his age, you know, in second thought, I guess it doesn't really matter how old he is, because with all that makeup, you can have a stuntman and not know who it is. So, I mean, I guess as long as he's willing to go through the makeup process, I think he'd be great in the TV show. But, you know, you can get somebody else, too. Either way, I'd love to see a Hellboy TV show. That'd be very cool. Warner Brothers Pictures Group President Jeff Robinov says that Superman didn't quite work, meaning Superman Returns, didn't quite work as a film in the way that we wanted it to. It didn't position the character the way he needed to be positioned, which I agree. Main problem would be Superman having a kid. They kind of, as Comics to Film said, painted themselves into a corner with that move. Because now you got to deal with this kid story, and it just, yeah, bad move. Anyway, Robinov continues to say, had Superman worked in 2006, we would have had a movie, meaning a Batman-Superman movie, for Christmas of this year or 2009. But he adds, now the plan is just to reintroduce Superman, which, you know, either way I think is great. I think even if Superman Returns would have been a much stronger film, I think a Batman-Superman movie before completing a Superman trilogy is the wrong move. So now the plan is to just reintroduce Superman. There was no more details on what that's going to involve. If it's going to be like a Incredible Hulk movie where they just completely ignore and relaunch the franchise entirely with new actors and all that kind of stuff. I did like Brandon Routh's portrayal of Superman, so I would love to see him return, although if they do relaunch the whole franchise, it might not feel right to have him return, and, you know, to have the cast the same and just kind of missing the kid, you know? So at this point, you know, even though I really did, the movie has grown on me, I wouldn't mind seeing a relaunch either. Either fix it or relaunch it. I guess either one would be a fix. So just fix the mess, Warner Brothers, and give us more Superman. Multiple sources have strongly indicated that the Justice League movie is dead at this point, to which I say yay. I think you've got to give all those characters in the Justice League, each of them individually is so much bigger in terms of popular culture recognition factor than any members of the Avengers that Marvel is working toward with their movies. So I think you definitely have to give all these characters, Superman, Flash, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, even freaking Aquaman, they should each get a trilogy or at least a solo feature film before you bring them into a team movie. So I'm thrilled that the Justice League movie is officially dead. Warner Chief Alan Horn says, we're having a lot of internal discussions on it regarding just kind of the DC heroes and movies. He says, we haven't committed to any change at DC at this point, adding that both Warner's and DC are committed to bringing the properties into viable movie production in an intelligent way so that we introduce them like planes on a runway. I thought this was a great metaphor. They have to be set up the right way and lined up the right way and all take off one at a time and fly safe, so don't make any stupid bonehead decisions, and fly straight. I thought that was a great metaphor. So I hope they do that with all the DC characters. I don't necessarily need to well, he says one at a time. Hopefully he doesn't mean that only one franchise is running at a time. I think he can have multiple hero franchises, but I think it's right to not have them in a team all at once. So all that stuff I've shared with you so far, except for the Legend of the Seeker at the very top of this segment, was from comics2film.com, a great resource. Now, a couple things I picked up at Dark Horizons. Sam Raimi and, what's his name, McGuire, crap. I can't remember anybody's name today. I want to say Tony Maguire, but it's not Tony Maguire. It's Dude Maguire. Anyway, they're on board for the fourth and fifth Spider-Man movies, particularly the fourth, but also possibly the fifth. Now, they're considering filming two films at the same time to save money. That's why I say possibly the fifth. But they are officially on board. No other cast members are officially on board, but those two are on board. A villain has not been announced, but inside sources say that when you know the villain, you'll know who's playing them, which makes me think it might be, I think the guy's name is Mysterio, because there was a lot of rumor and talk that... Another name I have to remember. But the dude that's been in, had a cameo in all three Spider-Man movies and was in the dead Sam Raimi movies. I think his name's Bill something. But anyway, he was rumored to play Mysterio. Man, I'm sorry I'm just forgetting all these names. It's the one time I've gone through this and I didn't make sure to write down all these names. Tobey Maguire. It's Tobey, not Tony, you dumb idiot. Tobey Maguire. Anyway, do I remember any of the other stuff yet? Dead stuff? No. Okay, so let's see here. Sony has also hired the Office producers, the producers of the TV show The Office, to co-write Ghostbusters. It's going to feature the original cast. Deals aren't going to be made with the cast after the script is finished, though, so nobody in the cast is committed. And Dan Aykroyd really wants Seth Rogen and Judd Apatow, or Apatow, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, but he wants them to be involved. So there you have it. Hopefully we will see a Ghostbusters movie soon. I wonder if that was kind of sparked by the original cast's involvement as actors and writers in the upcoming Ghostbusters video game, which is being released on, I believe, the 360 and PS3. I would love to see a new movie. Originally, there was going to be one in the works starring Chris Farley, but obviously when he passed away, that kind of went down the toilet. But that would have been a phenomenal movie. Hey, maybe Kevin Farley can pick up the role. He's doing this movie, American Carol, and I've seen him in the Hertz commercials, and I don't think he's not the same as his brother, and poor guy, if he goes in that direction, he's always going to have to be compared to his brother. But if he's got some of that same kind of goofy fat guy comic timing and sensibility, maybe he could pick up the slack. But anyway, there you have it. That's all the movie news I have for you today.
Every word of God proves true.
Stockton will set you free.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Stockton will set you free.
Today we're looking for truth in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now in this brief chapter, we see further examples, I think, of Paul's genuine love for the Thessalonian church community, and we can also take from it an example of how to pray for and love other Christians. First, we see that Paul sacrifices the valuable presence of Timothy, his kind of partner in crime, as they, not literally in crime, that's just an expression. But anyway, his partner in ministry, Timothy was very valuable to him, but he sacrificed having Timothy with him so that Timothy could go and give help and encouragement to the Thessalonians. That's in verses 1 and 2. As mentioned in the first chapter, this new group of Christians in Thessalonica was suffering mistreatment by the community around them. Paul knew that affliction can wear down our faith and cause us to turn from God. He had told the Thessalonians that pain is inevitable, but was still concerned that the tempter, meaning Satan, may use the persecution that they were experiencing to turn them away from God. There's a very real danger of pain to, if we don't respond to it correctly, to turn us away from God. And Paul clearly recognizes that, as we can see in verses 3 through 5. Now, here's a question for you, just something to think about. What would you say your instinct is when you experience trouble or stress in your life? Do you ask, why me, God? Do you become resentful toward God? Do you ask Him for help? Do you tend to push God away, or do you try to get closer to Him? My guess would be that there's times where we've done all of the above on those. An interesting question to ask ourselves that I have to ask myself is, well, what's my general instinct? And is there a way that I can grow in that toward, seeking out God? Now, we've, you know, if you take a look at the Psalms, clearly there's room for us to, you know, express frustration to God, express, questioning to God. But what's the end result? If you often, if you see in those Psalms, someone is crying out to God saying, why are you so far away? Why are you letting people do this to me? So often, by the end of those Psalms, the psalmist says, you know what, but still, God, I'm going to praise you. Still, I'm going to put you first in my life. Still, I'm going to value, because even though what I'm feeling is terrible, I'm going to stick to what I know. And I think that's, you know, something that we have to come to something we have to recognize in our philosophy today, is that what we feel and what we know are two different things, that what we feel is not always truth. In fact, often it is not truth. So it's important to kind of stick to what we know about God. Now, I apologize for that. I'm getting out of, off the current text for that. But look into the book of Psalms. If you're ever kind of struggling with pain and frustration in your life, I find that that's just kind of using the words of the Psalms to pray to God is just an incredible, refreshing experience for me. It helps me kind of deal with stress and frustration that I might be experiencing. Like Paul, when we know someone is experiencing pain or stress, we can let them know that we've been thinking about them and purposefully praying for them. You know, it's sometimes easy to say, you know what, well, I'll be praying for you, or we're praying for you, or whatever, and not really mean it. You know, it can sometimes escape our mouths. I know it's happened to me before, and I'm like, wait a minute, why did I just say that? Because I'm not really praying for them. I haven't really been praying for them. Or if I say, I will pray for you, am I really serious about that? Am I really going to commit to praying? So I really try to watch myself and catch myself and then commit to praying if I do tell someone I am going to pray for you. So we can let people know that we've been thinking about them. We can, and purposefully, genuinely praying for them. We can also take steps toward helping them despite the sacrifice it may mean for us in terms of time, money, or resources. Paul was not just about speaking lofty ideas. He followed through. He really genuinely cared about people. It's an incredible model for us that we can see more examples of in this chapter here. Now, when Timothy returned from Thessalonica, he was able to tell Paul that the Thessalonians had been remaining strong, trusting in God even through their pain, and the news helped Paul to do the same thing. Did you know that our pastors and mentoring friends often take a huge amount of encouragement from the faith we show in our lives? They get to see God working in us and in them at the same time. And seeing people grow is a reminder to them that God is really here and really involved in our lives. I remember when I was a worship pastor that for people to come and tell me about ways that they're growing and things that God is doing in their life is very, it was very exciting to me, because I felt like God was, that there was evidence here that God was active and moving. He was using me. He was working in their lives. He was using them. And then in turn, their stories would just be an encouragement to me. So I think sharing and communicating those kinds of things that God is doing, man, it's just great for everybody involved. So if you ever want to encourage a pastor, or maybe it's not a pastor, but it's a friend that is kind of an example to you, or that in some way helps you grow spiritually. And both pastors and friends like that can really use the encouragement. So if you ever want to encourage them, let them know what their words and actions have meant to you. Tell them about the small ways that you may have grown because of something they said or did. Either for you or just in that gave you an example to follow. They feel, I can't speak for everybody, but I think in many cases they feel so much purpose. Clearly that's the case with Paul here, in helping others grow, and that's going to mean a lot to them. So look at verses 6 through 10, and hopefully that'll be an encouragement to you to encourage people that have made a difference in your life in helping you grow in your relationship with God. Now, Paul ends this chapter with a prayer for the Thessalonians. He wants to be reunited with them and for them to love those around them more and more, because love is at the core of having a heart that is unblameable. We're not going to achieve unblameable hearts in this life, but learning to grow in love for others is part of our journey in holiness. We see that in verses 11 through 13. Now, holiness, just a quick definition here, kind of a churchy word. Holiness means being set apart for the purposes of God. So if something is holy, it means it's been set aside and it is focused on God's purpose, on fulfilling God's purpose. We will be completely and perfectly in line with God's purpose for us when we are finally with Him after this life. But the journey of that journey of holiness begins today as we continually learn how to love others more effectively. All right, the coffeehouse question for this week. Can you think of someone that influenced you to go deeper in your spiritual journey? Think about that for a second. Can you think of someone that influenced you to go deeper somehow in your walk with God, in your journey through the Bible? What did they say or do, and what was the result in your life? I want to hear about that. Send me an email at paeter@spiritblade.net, and I'd love to read your thoughts and comments on the show. Or there's also some one-click recording devices at paeter.libsyn.com. Libsyn, that's how you spell Libsyn, and petersbrain.blogspot.com. Now, if you want to leave a message for me using one of those methods, I'd recommend doing it soon. I got an email from Evoca, which is the service that I use to allow people to record stuff to send to me that I can play on the podcast. And they are going to, it's been a free service up to this point, and they're going to start charging for that service, and it is not in my budget to continue doing that. So in less than a month, that option will be lost. So if you have a suggestion for another way that I could do that, but it needs to be free. I don't have in the budget to invest money in that for the show. But if there's a free way that people can leave me recorded messages that I can play on the show, I would love to know about it. I don't know what's available out there, but my current option is going to be fading away. So if you want to leave me a message that way, do that really quick before the option disappears. And you can always send me a message, paeter@spiritblade.net. Next week, we're going to look at love, sex, and death. Yes, chapter 4 has it all. So we'll see what's in store for us then. I'm a happy guy. I mentioned this on Pater's Brain yesterday. That's my kind of personal weblog. But I got a hand-me-down laptop from my sister this week, and it's very exciting because it looks like it's going to be able to play two of my favorite PC games, so that when I go out of town to visit family or just on the road or whatever, I can kind of take some of my version of vacation with me, because for me, vacationing is about vacating reality and escaping to fantasy. So games, books, and all that kind of stuff is totally my way of... I don't have to go anywhere for vacation. You know, when I go somewhere, it's usually because my wife, you know, wants to go somewhere, or, you know, we're visiting family or something like that. And so there's, you know, definitely the visiting family aspect of vacation. But aside from that, I have to leave a lot of my cool escapist fantasy entertainment behind. So now I'm very excited to be able to take some fun games with me. And then also it's cool because when I do my I do substitute teaching to kind of help pay the bills during the day, and it's not every day, it's probably about maybe 6 days out of the month that I do that, 5 or 6 days out of the month. But, you know, I can take my writing work with me, because I always get an hour plus lunch free when I'm doing those subbing gigs. So I can take, you know, my adaptation work for Pilgrim's Progress with me, and it means that when I do a subbing gig, I don't lose an entire day of progress on stuff for Spirit Blade Productions. So that is also very, very cool. Anyway, that's just kind of my little personal world for you. But that's it for our show this week. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll come back next time. I have no idea what's coming up next week. That's just kind of the nature of this show, I think. Yeah, I got nothing. As always, this is the part of the show that just kind of falls apart. I really have nothing, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I'm going to just say goodbye, and we're just going to end it. And I hope you have a great week. And you know what? I hope you spend some time seeking the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Your factor is awesome. Spider is a crazy freak.